Well, welcome everyone today to our worship training webinar. My name is Dan Wilt, and as always, it's my privilege to host you. Thanks for taking the time out of your busy schedules to be with us today. We have, one of the more interesting webinars that we've done in a while here in our worship training webinars because it's a topic that I've wanted to know something about for many moons. And I happen to have with me today my good friend Kevin Weimer from WorshipStream. Go ahead and say hi to everyone, Kevin.
Hello, everyone.
We're we have the privilege of being in the same room here to do this because we're both here in Franklin, Tennessee, and that's just a real gift to me that we can spend some time together and talk about our big topic for today, which is how to stream your worship services online. And I wanted to do this webinar in many ways because we've had so many questions that come in over the years that are just topics that I know that I don't know enough about to answer well. And it's always exciting to me when we can get someone who's an expert on the topic to give us some perspectives, some ideas. And the thing I love about Kevin is he's really able just to bring it down to where we are, what we need to know about this, and I'm looking forward to everything happening today.
Yeah, what that means clearly is that I'm not a super technical guy, so this is going to be kind of an everyman's language kind of seminar on the basics of how to get started streaming.
Fantastic. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, Kevin, why don't you just go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and WorshipStream, and then we'll dive into our topic.
Yeah, so, I have not been a tech guy for all that long, I guess. My background is more in the Christian music world, and so spent most of my time at Integrity Music. And so for me, it's really always been, though, about resourcing the church. And so, in the past it was with songs and CDs and all that, and videos and all that kind of stuff. And over the last 4 or 5 years or so, I've kind of moved into technology resources for churches. Whether it be software or now for the last couple of years, a worship stream, which is helping churches stream their services online.
Excellent, excellent. Well, tell you what, I think we can just dive into our topic. Let me tell you, everyone, what we're going to be doing in terms of the progression of the webinar so that you can manage your time and expectations is we're going to ask some questions of Kevin to kick off here, and then he's going to take us through really the basics of how to get streaming your worship services online. And then we're going to turn into a time of some Q&A. And the way we like to do the Q&A is you'll see in your webinar screen, up in the upper left-hand area, you'll see Q&A. You can put your questions in the chat area, but they tend to get lost as people chat in quickly. Go ahead and put your questions as we go along up in the Q&A block, and then we're going to be able to take as many of those as we can as we get near the end of our webinar. So that's how we'll progress, but you can just get your questions going in there as you think of them. Some questions we may take as we're going along because it's always interesting to have people just interacting right in the moment with something that they might want some more insights into. Okay, so we're going to dive in, and I guess the first question is, Kevin, here I am. I'm the worship pastor of a medium-sized church, a small-sized church, and we really want to get online. We want to get people seeing our services as they're happening. We want to get people able to see them after they've happened. We want to connect with people online and really open up our voice more loudly on the internet. So how do we even start? Go for it.
Well, thank you, Dan. So it's always interesting. And just to reiterate what Dan said, I definitely encourage questions. Streaming is one of these things where you never really know exactly where everyone is in the process on how much you know about it. Some people may be brand new for you, and other people have been looking at it for quite a while. So what we're going to do today is just kind of take a bit of an overview, and then hopefully some of your questions can lead us wherever you want to go, really. So so the first thing is, as we look at this, the things we're going to kind of cover today is, first of all, who is streaming? What is it? What does it mean? Why do churches stream in the first place? And then we'll spend some more time really on how does it actually work. So First thing on who is streaming. This is one thing when we talk to a lot of churches, the perception initially is that it's really, you know, just the big churches that are kind of broadcasting their stuff out. But really, it's everybody. It's we got big churches, there's small churches. We even have we work with someone who actually does it's a girl who does a biweekly Bible study out of her house, where she's got, you know, 10 people in the family room, and they've got a camera set up, and they've got people who join that all over the country. So all that to say is it really is pretty accessible for everybody. You've got a lot of, you know, schools will use it to stream stuff. You've got even some city governments and stuff will stream things. So it's really just a way to get things out to people who can't be there in person. So that's who. On what it is, streaming is really, it's simply just a way to let people either watch or listen to what you're doing online when they can't be there in person. Mm-hmm. It can be done either live or on demand. The big thing to understand, and most of you probably already know this, is that it's not downloading. So just when you're streaming doesn't mean that people are actually going to be able to kind of take it, download it to their, you know, their phone or computer and send it out wherever they want to as well. It's just the content basically stays on the server, mm-hmm. and they can watch it or listen to it through their computer or mobile device.
Can I just ask a question here? And maybe you're going to answer this, but you have those choices, live or on demand. Can you just tell us what the difference is between those two, and who are the different audiences for that?
Yeah, you know, we'll get into that a little bit more, but basically the difference is live is obviously you're streaming it as it happens. And so you've got cameras set up, and you've got basically a feed going out so that people can watch it essentially in real time as it's taking place. Mm-hmm. On demand is where people can go back and watch it later. And that would be kind of like a you know, like YouTube or something like that, where it's there and it will start whenever someone gets to the page. So they can watch it on their timeline.
Okay.
All right.
Excellent.
So, yeah, why streaming? So streaming historically has been really viewed as a broadcast model, you know, or for outreach. And broadcast is a where you've got your – it's what we call a one-to-many kind of medium. So you've got one message, and you're going to send it out to the whole world. And so it's a great way to get your message out to out beyond the four walls of your church. And so that would be very similar to you know, churches who have their services on the radio or on television stations, things like that. And so in terms of the broadcast model, streaming is probably the most efficient way to get your message out everywhere, because it really is it really can go globally. It's way less expensive than certainly television time or radio time, things like that. But it's a way to kind of do that broadcast piece pretty well. But the next piece is that it's really, we like it in terms of a, rather than broadcast, it's really more of a narrow cast, right? And so this is, rather than one to many, it's really one to one or one to a few. And this is really helpful in really the driving force behind most churches starting to stream, because it's a great way to keep your church family connected. So, you know, and you can kind of see that the next piece of that is you're keeping your church family connected, so if people can't be there for any number of reasons. You've got one of the big ones really is just, you know, people are sick. You know, we've got young kids at home, and so there'll be times if they're too sick where I can't leave them in the nursery. In the past, we felt like you really just miss a week. And now you just don't have to do that anymore. You can actually watch it live as it happens at home. Or people travel on vacation. You've got people, actually some military people who are deployed different places. So that's a big way just to kind of keep your local church body connected, even if they can't be there physically in the building.
I was just going to ask you something, or maybe just tell a story. You know, it's funny. We were leading up to this, and a friend of mine said to me, you know, I was on the road, I was traveling, I was feeling lonely for my family, for my world, you know, all my friends, but here I had to do this trip, and it was a long trip, et cetera. And he said, I tuned in to my church's streaming service, and I just felt connected, like I felt there. And, you know, there are some things you can't accomplish over the Internet, but there are some beautiful things you can with this. It's that at that time church was starting, and I was there when church was starting, and I could, you know.
Yeah, you know, it's huge because you do feel like it's not like you don't have to miss something, right? So we've had it in the past where I was traveling when my son was in a kids musical that we had at church, and I hated being gone. But I was able to watch it live as it happened, so I could talk to him right after it's over. You know, I don't have to try to track down a video copy of it somewhere. Yeah. I could actually see it as it happened, you know, which is really great. And that actually kind of takes in the next piece of it is really in not only are you keeping your church family connected,
yeah.
but you're helping your family stay connected to their circles as well. And so, again, kids musicals are a great example of that, or memorial services, weddings, and things like that, or baptisms, where you've got people who might not, you've got people in your church who are connected to people all over the country who might want to share an event but can't actually physically travel to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a great way for people to be able to stay connected and share an event even without, again, there's no substitute for being there in person.
Yeah.
The streaming is not, it doesn't take the place of actually being there in person, actually
sure.
you know, being together.
Yeah.
But it's the next best thing, kind of.
Yeah.
So
excellent.
So that's kind of some of the whys. So the next thing is really on how does it work.
This is the big one. We're actually getting a lot of comments in here. Everyone's excited to get. Okay.
Okay.
Let's go.
So what do we do?
So
how does it work? All right. So how does it work? So part of it is a little bit is it again is it live or on demand? And I would say that the shorter answer is you really want both because they really kind of hit and target different kinds of people,
mm-hmm.
right? So you really want it available live. I know like for myself. I'm way more like, if I can't be there in church on Sunday, if we've got sick kids or whatever, I'm way more likely to watch it if I can sit down and watch it live as it happens,
mm-hmm.
Rather than trying to find time to go back later in the week.
Sure.
Right? And so so that's one really strong reason to have it live. So you've got some people who right now will record their services and maybe post it later in the week.
Mm-hmm.
It's good, but I still think you're missing some people who could really benefit from a live from a live experience. On the flip side, on-demand is important as well because you've got some people who really just, they might not be available at all on that mm-hmm. Sunday morning. And so to be able to go back and watch it is a big deal, especially during, you know, there's a sermon series going on and you don't want to miss one of those things. It's
sure.
important to be able to go back and do that. Or to be able to share it with family members. So, you know, my sister up in Indiana would have totally loved this last week. I'm going to send her a link to it.
Excellent.
So on-demand is a big deal. So I would say, you know, both. And really, once you're doing one, mm-hmm. there's just no reason not to do the other.
Okay.
Yeah. It's really pretty easy. So the basics of how does it work, it really kind of boils down to this. You need audio and video, obviously. Mm-hmm. You need a computer with encoding software, and you need an internet connection.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the end of the day, it's really that. You can, with streaming, it's one of these things where you can make it as complicated and high production as you want, but on the other end of it, it can be as simple as you want it as well. And so we find that a lot of people will start pretty simple and then keep adding things as they can. But at the core, these are the three components. And so we'll look at those initially. So with video, you've got your video and your audio kind of set up. Your audio is really going to kind of determine, or your video is really going to determine your audio. The audio part is probably the easiest piece.
Mm-hmm.
You've got lots of options. Usually you're going to take most churches will just take a feed straight from their soundboard.
Okay.
And then depending on what kind of camera they have, they might take the audio from the board into the camera, or they might take the audio from the board straight into the computer. You know,
okay.
So you've got options on
you
that.
You can choose going into the video camera or going into your computer for the audio.
That's right. And so that's really going to be more determined by what kind of video setup you have, what kind of cameras you have, and things like that. The audio is going to be pretty easy.
Okay.
So one of the questions we get a lot on video is, all right, do we use, you know, do we just one camera or do we need multiple cameras?
Yeah.
And, you know, really, again, it goes back to, I say do what you can, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because, and it goes back to a little bit on what your church's focus is or what the desire is on why are you streaming to start with. I would say that, again, when we were kind of looking at the broadcast versus the narrowcast kind of driving forces, I guess, behind streaming, that would dictate it a little bit. If your main reason is for outreach to broadcast to the world, like a television production, then maybe the production value matters a lot more, right? Because if it's going to be on television and you're trying to grab people's attention, then maybe a production, maybe you do want multiple cameras and extra lighting and all this kind of stuff. If you're really kind of more driven by the narrowcast, which is keeping your church family connected when they can't actually be there, then I think the production value of multiple cameras is far less important. Again, I go back to my church. If I can't be there, I just want I want something. You know, I just want to see my pastor. If it's just to talk me head on the screen,
you're fine with that.
That's like, That works.
Let's get going. Okay.
So I talked to some people who, again, they want to kind of hold out for the perfect broadcast setup. We're not going to do it until we can do it with the multiple cameras and the switcher and the lighting and all that kind of stuff. And there's part of me that really understands that, but I do think that more often than not, you're missing a chance to serve some people who are already part of your body who could benefit from just get it up and going, right? Just start somewhere.
Excellent.
All right, so that's kind of the video piece. On the computer side, you need a computer with encoding software. Again, so you can use Mac or PC. I've become more of a Mac guy, but certainly we've got lots of people who stream with both. The two most popular encoding options are, and I'll mention them here, are Adobe's Flash Live Media Encoder. And so you can kind of see what that one looks like. And then the other one is Wirecast. So just to kind of compare the two a little bit, Adobe's is really popular, one, because it's free. And so that makes it really easy. And it just, it just works, you know. So it's so that's pretty nice.
And I've used this to stream out of, just downloaded this through WorshipStream. Just did some regular things, it was me, a computer, a camera, and it was just making it happen. So this did work. It was a workable solution.
It totally works. So up at the top, you've got the two little boxes up there, and so those are basically your monitors. The one on the left is going to show you the video picture that's coming in. The one on the right is going to show you what you're streaming out. Hopefully those look the same. And it's great. It's not it doesn't look super user friendly. There's lots of settings and controls. One of the great parts about streaming though is that once you get it set up, it's really, really easy. And so we'll usually kind of walk people through how to get set up initially, get your video feed there, make your settings what they're supposed to be. Over on the right, there's a couple of lines of code here that you get from either us or from your streaming provider that will send the audio and video to the right place to show up on your player. So you basically copy and paste those ugly codes in there. But you do all that at the very beginning and then you save it and then you don't have to really tinker with it anymore, which is great. So in terms of ease of use, really, because a lot of times, as we know, it's usually a volunteer who's going to do these things. You come in each week, and you really just press the green start button at the bottom, and then stop when it's done.
Boom. And I see down here DVR auto record.
So you've got different kinds of options there. You've got a couple different things. You've also got above that, you've got an option to where it can save to file. We always recommend that. Your service, WorshipStream, we offer, auto archiving to the server. A lot of other ones do as well. Even if they have it, always recommend saving it locally to your local computer or to your local drive as well. But again, so that's really kind of it. But the ease of use is really, really important. That again, it's one of the I think misconceptions a lot of times on what's it going to take. How many more people do we need to stream? Well, I mean, if you're already doing video, you probably don't need anyone else. You just need a computer and someone to press start and stop.
Right.
So that's the Adobe one. Wirecast I love it. It's about $500.
Okay.
And actually, you can get, I think, churches and nonprofits can get, I think they have a 10% discount. So
okay.
You can get a little bit off that, which is good. And it just gives you a few more bells and whistles than the Adobe option. It can basically serve as a little bit of a video switcher for your stream. So whereas the Adobe one will basically take whatever video feed, video feed is coming in, when you start, Adobe is going to send it out. You can't really switch anything. So you need to switch, if you want to have different things going, you need to switch it before it gets to the computer. Whereas with Wirecast, it's actually a little video switcher. So if your computer processor can handle it, you can have multiple cameras set up to it and actually do your switching there. Or
so here's the stage with the teacher going, switch to the bathroom camera, switch to the...
hopefully there's not a
switch to the preschool camera.
I got it. We would definitely recommend not having a bathroom camera. One of the big uses for this, and I love it with some of the events that we do, is that you can have... you can have slides up there, or you can have a video up there, or different things. And so we'll usually like to go live. If we're streaming an event, we want to go live. Maybe 15 minutes before the actual event starts, and want them to know that they're in the right place. And so have a slide up there rather than having it just be a black screen, or having a picture of an empty stage with people walking around.
Got it,
So you do have some cool options. You can also do some lower thirds things with Wirecast as well.
Excellent. Now, we do have a few questions coming in. This should probably be a good time for, I think you're going to be getting into even more tech with some Roland gear and other things that will help. But so put this off if you need. Some of these guys are asking real basic questions. Okay, not basic to me because I have the same one. What about inputting video into the computer? Is that like a FireWire going on? What do we do?
Great question. And this is where we'd say that there are infinite options, really.
That's the problem. We don't want infinite options.
It's one of the challenges there. So I would say that if there is any if there's a challenging part of streaming, it's in the very initial kind of setup and figuring, all right, how do I get my video signal into my computer?
Okay.
That's it. And really it just comes down to what kind of camera do you have and what kind of computers do you have? And so you want to look at what kind of output options do you have from your camera, what kind of input options do you have on your computer, and all right, do we need an adapter or do we need a converter of some sort? We have some that... I'm just trying to think of some of the different setups we've had where there's cameras that have RCA cables out, and with those we'd get analog to digital video converter.
Okay.
So the RCA things would go into that, and then we'd go FireWire from that to my computer.
The new FireWire?
Either one. I usually have a couple of the FireWire adapters just so we're ready for whatever kind of comes in.
Sure. But how about USB? Would it ever go USB or is it just digital video out to...
Sometimes it will be USB.
Okay.
The only issue that I've seen with USB, and this is, again, for better or worse, you just need to kind of try it and play with it a little bit sometimes.
Okay.
There have been some cameras where when you go, they have USB out, but when you go USB from the camera to the computer just recognizes it as a hard drive rather than a video source.
Yeah.
And so that's not super helpful, right?
Okay.
And so your encoder's not going to be able to recognize it. And so you need to make sure that you're able to get a way in that does recognize it as a video source. And so sometimes you'll need a... depending on, again, what kind of video you have and what kind of computer you have, you might need some sort of a capture card or a converter box that you can kind of have as a go-between.
Okay.
The easiest is, we're streaming an event not too long ago where it was just a one-camera thing in a workshop, and it's pretty easy because we have a really nice Sony camera where it has XLR in, so I could take the audio feed just into the camera, and then the camera had a FireWire out. And so it's just literally from the camera to the computer, and it's just easy.
Yeah.
A lot of video switchers, will have USB out, and those seem to work really well.
Okay.
It's set up for that.
Okay.
So, but yeah, it does take some, and this is where, you know, we're always happy to kind of get on the phone and help people, you know, research their options of what kind of cameras do you have, what kind of switchers do you have, what kind of computer do you have, and try to piece it together afterwards.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just kind of researching online.
Okay.
You got to, you know, consult with Google and figure out how to get it done there.
If you just a few quick questions coming in here.
Yeah.
So let's say someone has a new Mac. Let's just go with that one for the moment. We have some PC questions here too, but a new Mac, digital or a FireWire out. It's probably gonna. You can probably get an adapter from a standard digital video camera to a FireWire, and that's probably what you can do. And there's no converter boxes. Mm-hmm. Just make it happen because Macs tend to recognize these things quickly.
Yep.
PCs. So the question here from Roy Nell, so does it use your PC as the host? Is that, I'm not sure.
As your host for the stream? Well, I'm not totally sure. Really, your computer is really just going to be, it's a conduit really for the video signal.
Sure.
Right? So you're going to take the audio and video feed, and as long as it's coming into your computer, in the encoder, you're going to be able to pick your video sources.
Okay.
Yeah, out of either encoder. And so, you know, when the camera or the video switcher is hooked up there, whether it be in Wirecast or whether it be in, actually in Wirecast, so the picture we have up there right now, the black box down there, it says ADVC.
Okay,
55.
Yeah.
With that one, I was using an ADVC, which is a just an analog to digital video converter.
Okay.
So we had signals going into that, and then I was going with FireWire from that box to my computer. And so when I do that, it shows up, that device shows up as one of my video source options.
I see. Okay.
It's going to be the same thing in the Adobe encoder as well. And so then all it's doing is once it's saying, all right, I know where the source is, then the encoding software is just going to encode it and send it up to our servers that are going to kind of make it available for everyone.
Got it.
Does that make sense?
Can we look at, I'm wondering, this picture that's on the website, I found that pretty helpful.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, let me just pull that up, guys. This won't be technically clean, what you're seeing right now, but... I'm just going to pull that up onto the screen, and maybe this helps get a little bit better visuals.
So. Yeah. So this is, I mean, so basically what this is saying, and if the language there is more about being recorded, and it's going to be the same thing for live. So basically, you start with your cameras, and you just need to get the signal from your camera to your computer. And again, if there's a difficult part, it's really just kind of lining up those inputs and outputs.
Okay.
So
right.
You have some sort of a source, whether you're going straight from a single camera or if you're going from a video switcher, if you have multiple cameras.
Okay.
You know, it's usually not all that difficult, but if there's an issue, that's kind of it. Once it's in there, the encoding software is what you're actually going to use and the internet connection to send it up to our servers.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Or to do whatever streaming service you use, they all kind of do the same thing. We're going to give you these codes that will go into your encoder that tell it where to send your feed to.
Okay.
And then once it's up there, then you'll make it accessible for people to watch wherever they are.
Okay.
So that's kind of how it is. The computer's really just a pass-through.
Okay. Very good. I'm just going to leave that graphic up there just for a moment for people to take in. Some of you might know how to actually do a screen capture. You can see this over at the Worship Stream website. Just click on the product tour, and that'll give you, if this is no matter what resource you use, whether it was Worship Stream or some other mechanism,
that's right.
This is going to be the basic cycle, right?
That's exactly the way it works.
That's
right. You basically go your video source, whatever that is, to your computer.
Okay.
And then you send it up to the cloud, and it's anybody can access it from there.
Excellent.
Right.
Okay. Let me just technically just jump back here, get back to our slides so we can see those clearly. And let me just jump back. So these are you know, people are asking questions, which I think you're going to get to here. You know, you know, can you stream live on YouTube, et cetera? I think the short answer is no. That's an on-demand world. There are some others, you know, Kim is saying here, like Ustream, things like that. Maybe YouTube can be streamed. Kim is a technical guy, so he would know that. But it's mainly an on-demand function. I think that's what is true all around. So let's just look here.
Yeah, and we don't have to go through there. So that's basically just a snapshot of a player. So basically you've got options on how to display it. So you can, depending on what kind of service you use, it will determine how much you are able to kind of customize the look and feel of your of your site and of your player there. So. So more on how to stream. The next kind of big piece there is your internet connection.
Okay. Right. So internet connections matter. They're not all the same, are they?
It turns out they're not.
No. But we all hope they were. It's like, why doesn't this?
Yeah, that's right. And so if you're interested in streaming, one of the first things we always encourage you to do, and many people do it already, is you want to know what kind of connection speed you have.
Okay.
And so one we usually use is speedtest.net.
Okay.
And so you'll go there, and there's a little button that says Begin Test, and you just click it. And what it's going to give you, two things. It's going to give you a download speed and your upload speed.
Okay.
And for streaming, the one that really matters is what kind of upload speed you have.
Okay.
Right. And so, you know, and people always ask, you know, how much upload speed do you need? And really, it just it just depends, because you can stream you can set your own bit rate, which is what kind of determines how much upload speed you need.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can basically set your bit rate based upon how much speed you have available to you.
Okay.
So we typically say, ideally, if you have at least 2 Mbps upload speed, usually you're in really pretty good shape.
Okay.
Recommend you have at least 750 Kbps upload speed, and I would say that would be capacity. If you have 750 kilobits per second upload speed, you're going to want to set your encoder to a bit rate that's less than that.
Okay.
Because when you set your encoder, as I understand, it's really going to kind of average to that, and so you want to make sure you have some headroom there for it to be a little bit. So that it can be a little above or a little bit below, but kind of average at that rate.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say that most churches that we work with will stream with a bit rate of anywhere from probably 300 Kbps up to 1,000 or 1,100 Kbps.
Okay.
And what that means.
Everyone's checking their test speed right now. They're like, oh my gosh, this is.
Right,
his blood pressure is low.
It's a little bit scary. You know, people ask how much you need. You can never have too much, right? And so one of the things that we always recommend is before you get too concerned about what you have available, is do your test and then call your. If you don't have a lot, call your internet provider and ask them how much you're supposed to get, because a lot of times you're not getting even what your plan is supposed to be giving you.
Okay.
And because they'll put a governor on that kind of thing. And so even just by calling, sometimes we know of some churches who've been able to get it increased and give you more capacity there.
Okay.
And then a couple other things there. If you are really low on your upload speed, then you want to just kind of protect it as much as possible.
Okay.
So some of those things would be, you don't want to have that same connection available on the public Wi-Fi.
Everybody, okay.
You know, right?
Yeah.
If you're, it's one thing if you've got, we've been to some churches who have, 30 or 40 megabits per second upload speed, which is huge, and so they can do whatever they want to.
Okay, yeah.
But a lot of churches will have maybe 1 or 2 Mbps upload speed.
Okay.
And so you really do want to kind of protect it whenever you're doing a stream.
Yeah.
And either partition some off, through your IT department, or just not not have that same connection available for public Wi-Fi.
Can you just call the people that provide internet for your church and say, this is what I need, what will it take?
Yeah, okay. Usually we recommend just kind of call them and say, hey, you know, with the plan that we're on, you know, how much upload speed are we supposed to be getting?
Yeah.
And then when you know that, you can kind of compare that to what you found on your speed test to make sure that you're getting what you're supposed to.
Sure.
And then if it's not enough, you ask about what does it take to get a bit more on the upload speed. Or even sometimes, I've heard of some just trying to get more just on the weekends.
Okay.
You know, and that's a possibility as well.
Let me just interject here, guys, because we have a lot of people on our webinar today. And I just want to say this. We're gonna start moving into some gear questions here. And Kevin's going to be doing his best to just kind of get us set up with some basic ideas. But let me say this. We actually have a very special surprise here at the end of the webinar. So if you want to hang around, some things that are going to be available to you are going to be worth the wait. Let's just dig into some gear questions. And I see a lot of questions are coming in related to gear. Let's target this, because the thing I love about what you do and your whole world is you're targeting small churches, medium churches, churches that are just like, we need to do this. So we just need plug-and-play options, et cetera. And that's what you sought to develop with WorshipStream. There are other options out there, which I'd love to hear your thoughts on Ustream or anything like that and what the difference is. But let's dig into some gear, and then I just want to say we have that surprise waiting for people here at the end.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Yeah, so just a little bit on gear, you know, and there are tons and tons of options out there, you know, and again, it really just depends on what kind of stuff you have in place, what you're wanting to do, and then fill in the gaps with some gear. So Roland, we've done some different things with Roland. They've got a couple things that are really nice pieces of gear that are really specifically targeted for live streaming. One is a VC30, which is a converter box, which is really great. And so this is a you know, I'll use that sometimes I've used it with an HDMI. It takes HDMI in and FireWire out.
Okay.
It can also do analog in and digital out. It's a really great box. It can be pricey. With a lot of these things, even when we were talking about, you know, capture cards and converters and different things like that, budgets are really all over the map.
Yeah.
You know, you can spend as much or as little as you want.
Okay.
There's definitely probably some sort of some correlation. You know,
okay.
It's not always, you don't always need the most expensive one for sure, but the Roland, the VC30, I think that's about $2,000.
Okay,
and it gives you some nice little options. I really like it. You got little pictures there of the VR5 and the VR3.
Mm-hmm.
These are really cool. They're both audio and video mixer/switchers for streaming.
Okay.
And so you can have, I think you can have maybe three cameras as well as maybe another computer input.
Okay.
And it's got really nice little you know, touch screen switching capabilities, which is kind of fun. It gives you some audio mix options. So some people, they don't want to just take the house audio mix.
Got it.
They might have an orchestra or something going on where maybe they're not gonna mic the brass, you know, but their control room is in a different place, and so they want to have something. They don't need it for the in-house kind of sound, but they might want to have some way to mix it in for the online mix. So you've got some ways to do some different audio mix for your live stream with these devices, which are pretty cool.
Excellent.
The VR5 is about $5,000, I think.
Okay.
VR3, I think, is maybe $2,000, something like that.
So it's not VR5 is $5,000, VR3 $3,000. Sorry, never mind. $2,000.
Just really complicated.
I wondered why they named these.
Yeah. So yeah, that's by committee, I guess. I don't know.
So can I just ask a question here? You know, I get to play resident. I don't know how to do this stuff either. So this is fascinating to me. So what you're saying is there are some computers that just don't need a converter. You're just going to go from that camera right in. You're going to use one of those encoder pieces of software that you choose, and bam, you're live. And then you have something that puts it there, like Worship Stream or YouTube, whatever, that's going to be the end.
Your provider. Yeah.
But the reason you would want this, number one, is because some computers are going to need it to get the signal and understand it. And they allow a lot of functionality for switching cameras, et cetera, and mixing, right?
Well, and that's really, the VR series is definitely more for a video switching option.
Okay.
Right? So it's really more like, you know, hey, we've got a few different cameras, and maybe we even want to have a little bit different video switching than we do for just our regular DVD or for whatever reason.
Okay.
And so it gives us the option to be able to do video switching and a slightly different audio mix that's not the same as what's being used for the house.
Right.
Right. So that's really the main thing on those. The other converters would be if you need, if your camera is going to give you an analog signal and you need a digital thing for your computer to be able to take it and read it, then you need a capture card or a converter box or some option.
Okay.
And there really are tons and tons of options there. And you know, and we've used some of them in the different streaming things that we've done. And then there's a whole lot of other things out there that we haven't played with, but we can certainly help you kind of research as well. But that's so that's really how those things work. I would say that, you know, it's a great you know, if you have the opportunity to get new gear, it's always fun buying new gear.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to.
Sure.
You know, I'd say if you're going to do a great big kind of build out, you know, and we have people ask us about that sometimes.
Yep.
Let's say go with a, you know, an AV kind of specialty company. You know,
okay.
Help you with hardware to kind of make sure that it's all integrated in your systems properly.
Yep.
The streaming piece of it is really pretty easy.
Yep.
You know, it's just about getting whatever setup or system you want to design.
Yep.
As long as you can get it into a computer, the streaming part of it, which is really kind of more where we're focused, is pretty easy.
Okay.
From that standpoint.
Yeah. So you can go big or you can go small. Let's take, what we're going to do here, guys, is we're probably going to take another 5 or so minutes for Kevin to get through some pieces, and then we've got a lot of questions coming in here. Make sure instead of putting your questions in the chat area, you put them up under the Q&A section, just so that we have them all in one place. We can go through them, and if you see your question's already been answered, just go ahead and hit delete on that. I think you have the controls to do that. That'll help us just filter through some of them. So let's dive into the licensing question here, and go ahead and shoot these questions in, and then we're going to get as many questions in as we can, aim at those big ones that we think everybody has.
Right. So licensing is a big deal. It used to be a lot harder than it is now.
Mm-hmm.
There's the two main options there are CCLI has their came out, I guess, about a year and a half ago with their church streaming and podcast license. And then you have WorshipCast from Christian Copyright Solutions.
Okay.
And those are both they're both great. They cover a little bit different stuff. The first one, the CCLI church streaming and podcast license. The great part about this is the price, that they've just made it unbelievably affordable to be legal in your streaming now, which is great. So you can kind of see the pricing they came up with. So if a church has, you know, 500 to 1,000 people in their main services, you know, on a weekend, it's a $100 licensing fee for the year, you know, which is way, way, way easier than what it was in the past. In the past, it was more like $1,000. So it made it really easy to kind of get into that. The main difference there is their license covers the CCLI song catalog.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're pretty much doing, Christian copyrights, you know, that kind of thing, that will kind of keep you covered.
Okay.
The next option is WorshipCast, which and you can see the pricing on that one. They've now gone to two-tier pricing as well, which is at least helpful. It's a bit more expensive, and theirs covers not just the CCLI song catalog, but their deal is more with like the ASCAP, CSEC, BMI.
So it
covers
so
all songs everywhere, like 16 million songs.
Oh, whatever
it is.
Gracious.
So if you have a band that likes to do a U2 tune or
a little Coldplay
or something like that, then that's right.
Stuff.
And that might be that might be something to look at. But it's also it is really great. I mean, even for some Christmas songs or whatever. Depends on what all you have going on in there.
Okay.
And
so this is going to be more worship song, classic catalog, CCLI.
CCLI stuff.
And
right.
These guys cast a wider
all
net.
All songs everywhere.
And including the CCLI
all songs,
catalog.
That's right. All
songs everywhere. Okay.
Pretty much.
So
and
that's
they
the cost.
Yeah, and that's the cost difference. And you can kind of look. They both have, they would probably have some more insight on exactly what they think their differences are.
Okay.
From an outside perspective, that's the way I kind of look at their differences.
Okay, excellent. Right. Excellent. Okay.
So, so
I'm just going to show those again so people can just kind of absorb their church and connect their costs. So, again, primarily worship songs, CCLI, classic, and this might be more of a wider cast of music that's out there. And these are all for if you're going to stream the worship part of your service. Some churches just didn't do that for years because they didn't want to mess with that, right?
Yeah.
They just did the teaching part, et cetera. But this is now you want your band to be live, and we're getting a lot of notes in here that it's hard to get a great mix sounding good on there, but you can do it.
That's right.
If you have a separate mixer for it. And
again, it goes back to, again, what your target is with it. You know,
sure.
What are you trying? And, again, I still go back to that a bit of, again, is it a broadcast or is it a narrowcast? Are you really trying to...
What's your goal here? Yeah.
Because really with a narrowcast, when it's one-to-one, it's someone who's tuning in because I can't be there and I just want something.
Yeah.
That person's predisposed to just to like it. I just want to hear it. Don't deprive me of it because it's not perfect.
Sure.
You know, but that being said, you do want to make it as high quality as you possibly can.
Okay.
But that's kind of trade off and all that.
Excellent. Let's
So last thing here, and this is just I guess kind of a little bit of a sidebar. Some things to kind of look at as you're looking for streaming service partners, right? So the one is feature set, what do they offer? There are definitely some, for someone, as kind of mentioned, Ustream and Livestream, there's some it's really great that there are some free options out there. They are, the free options are usually ad supported. And
okay.
So we hear lots of stories about, one, it's just distracting and kind of bothersome to be interrupted with some ads. Some of them are even on the player. They'll be very distracting.
I've seen some of those ads.
And
drink our beer, and here's the service.
Yeah, the appropriateness is not always great. Usually you've got a psychic ad of some sort. Anyhow, so one, I would definitely say you don't want an ad-supported service. Now, but then what else is there? That's right.
Not doing it.
Is cool. There, does it support iPhone and mobile devices?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have does it have a chat functionality? Can you do live and on demand?
Yeah.
Can you embed the player on your own site? These are different kinds of things that you want to kind of look and see. Sometimes comparing services is a little bit like apples and oranges sometimes,
mm-hmm.
so it can
mm-hmm.
be tough. The other big piece is support.
Yep.
So can you get support when you need it?
Right? Okay.
Again, a lot of times people are doing this either on this, maybe you're part-time at the church, so and this
mm-hmm.
has just been tasked to you of, hey, figure out streaming.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
And so you need, can I get training in the evening? You know, can I
yep.
get someone on the phone on Sunday morning if God forbid, we need help,
yep.
you know, Sunday morning, Wednesday night? Is it more than just an email or more than just a form? Can I actually find somebody to help me?
Yes.
And so then the last piece is usually they come down to how much bandwidth and how much storage is available.
Okay.
And this is a tough one where a lot of people, you just don't know how much you need until you start.
Okay.
And so that's where, and we've tried to make it easy in the sense of, so you don't know really how much you're going to need until you start. Just start. Don't
yep.
worry about it. We'll make it unlimited amount for some certain period of time.
Yep.
I think what we're looking at now is doing unlimited bandwidth and unlimited storage for your first 6 months.
Yep.
So don't worry about it.
Yep.
Most churches are not going to be anywhere near kind of the cap of the plan.
Sure.
And you'll get reports kind of every month to kind of see how much you're using just to make sure that
mm-hmm.
you're again, nobody wants to get surprised with, like especially the early cell phone bill days
sure.
where you get shocked with the $500 bill.
Yes, yes.
So, but you want to kind of look at those things as well to kind of see what the different options provide.
Excellent. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to move into some Q&A, but first, you know, when I do these webinars, you know, I do them with worship training. There are so many different folks that have given time and energy to do great webinars across all of our sites, worship training, praise shirts, et cetera. But one of the things that I like to do is whenever we have a guest who really, you know, knows their area, you know, I just like to see, you know, is there something that could help you? Is there something, a gift or something that could just get people started? And, you know, all of these options are going to be available to you. You got Ustream, you have all these things. But I think a lot of these things that are happening here, I do know that WorshipStream does cover everything you said, chat, all those kinds of things, and those are helpful. So Kevin is actually, and here's that surprise I was telling you about. We don't always get these in webinars, not from Dan Wilt when he does them. So, but he did say for the first 10 people that email him referencing that you heard this in our worship training webinar, in this webinar at Kevin and Worship Stream, you're going to get a full account through the end of this year, 2012, just to try it, just to get started, so you can see how some of that technology works. And that'll help you, Kevin had said to me beforehand, that doesn't mean anyone needs to stay with it. If you do, that's awesome, if it's working. But it'll just get you sort of in the world. And that's going to be a great, I think, gift to anyone. So, again, first 10 people to email them. So if you guys want to do that, we're going to move into some Q&A time now. But is there anything you wanted to say about that?
Yeah, no, that's totally. I'd say it's a great chance to do it right now, especially going into the holidays. You do have a lot of people traveling. It's a great time to just explore. And our approach really has been, I talk to a lot of churches who, different workshops or events where they're trying it out with one of these live with one of these free services, and they just hate the ads, and so they're hoping to go to a different solution. And so really what I'd say is, hey, listen, if you just try it with us, you know, we'll have a couple months here. And if you need more, we really want to help people figure it out. And so that's what we do. So, I mean, we'll kind of set you all up. Again, no obligation to kind of stay on, but we'd love to help you get up and going so you can try it.
That's awesome. Okay. Well, we got some killer questions here that are rolling in. So let's munch on some questions. One of the first, I think it's an important one. A lot of pastors use video clips from movies in their sermon. And just a quick one, because we want to hit a lot of these tech ones that are coming in, just kind of pouring in here. Does one of those licenses, that one of these cover that?
No, that's a great question.
Okay.
And I'll tell you, the little disclaimer, I'm not an attorney. I don't play one on TV.
You don't play one on TV.
That's right. But, those licenses do not cover other copyrighted materials. Now, so you got a couple options there. One is, depending on where you get those, I believe that some of them do actually provide, include the permission to stream it as part of your service as well.
Okay. Yep.
And then two, if not, we've had some people where they'll, especially with Wirecast or Video Switcher, put something else up on the screen during that part. And that's where Wirecast is really great, to where you can just switch your feed to a slide. Unfortunately,
and that's just a click away.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a click away, and it's unfortunate, but that's how that goes.
Okay. Very good. Okay, well, we've got a bunch of questions coming in. Just to say this out loud, I've been texting it out there. These notes are going to be available to everyone freely, as is this video, at Worship Training by within 24 hours under the Media tab. So you can just go into Worship Training. We'll probably publicize it through a newsletter as well. And that'll just help you see that practical stuff in front of you. So let me just come over here to our questions. And let's begin to hit some of them. What would you say are the minimum camera requirements for streaming? Gosh, that's a tough one. But
it's just
minimum. Like, can I just use my little elf camera?
I think the minimum requirement really is just, can you get your feed to your computer?
Okay.
You know, so that's really what it comes down to. There are some. There are some decent camera options, probably in the $500 to $1,000 range. And again, you can spend as much or as little as you want. We even talked to some churches who are just looking to try or to get started.
Yes.
You know, check Craigslist or eBay on some people who are maybe moving on to the latest generation camera. You can get a really nice second generation camera that might be a great way to get started.
Okay. Let's just look at here we have a challenge from Rob, and I'm not sure we can answer that in this without looking at the cameras, et cetera. Getting some rough resolution on their podcast, three simple home video HD cameras, edit them up, put them on our Clover site. We've also used Vimeo. How do I have a good quality picture? That might be a little bit.
We could talk about. I know it's one we could maybe take even offline. It's one of these things where you just need to kind of troubleshoot back through the thing and figure out where is it going back.
Yeah.
I mean, if your source video is good, your video should be good. It's one of these things where with streaming, your resolution, your clarity is never going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, depending upon your bit rate, the lower your bit rate, the you sacrifice some quality some.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's never going to get better. So if you've got average kind of camera video source, it's not going to get better. So the clearer your camera is, the clearer your end product is going to be. With that, sometimes we've seen some issues where people were streaming and their live stream was not very clear, whereas it was and their cameras were good, and basically it was just their settings where they didn't have their input size and output size kind of in the encoder lined up with what they were getting from the camera, so it was stretching it and made it look all fuzzy.
Got it.
And so there's some of those things with settings that we can help you kind of troubleshoot. If you get a chance, it's hard to.
Do you have any cameras you'd recommend, like off the top? I bet you see thousands.
I don't. Yeah, there's lots of different kinds. I'm trying to remember. One that we've used is I think it's a Sony HDV. There's really lots and lots of options out there.
Okay. Now, the one thing I think to note here, I'm hoping you're okay with this because I'm about to say it. Take it back if not. That email, kevin@worshipstream.com, if you've got some core questions like this,
totally.
Maybe you can at least point them to some answers. And
because
we don't want to leave you out in the cold if you're feeling like you've got an itch and it can be scratched.
This is what we do. I mean, if we don't know it, then we'll help you figure it out. I mean, we like to help churches figure out how to get streaming online. So if you've got questions, let us know.
Okay, let's just look here. We've got a question here. I'm just wondering, is there a solution that would cover streaming to the internet and simultaneously to the video campus? I don't know how those things work.
Well, you've got a couple different options. It depends. The streaming to a video campus is it depends on how you're wanting to do that.
Yep.
One option is, and one thing to consider is when you're streaming to another video campus where it's going to be blown up on a big screen, then I would be more concerned about what your bit rate is. And you definitely want to be on the higher end because when it gets blown up, you still want it to look good.
Okay.
Whereas when people are watching it on a mobile device or a computer, you know, you can go at a much lower bit rate, at a 500 kilobits per second bit rate, and have it look fine.
Excellent.
So one option with that would be, you know, to basically even, I know with Wirecast it's really easy to do, and I think you can do it with the Adobe encoder, where you can actually encode it at two different bit rates.
Okay.
And send it to different channels there, as long as you have the upload capacity to do that.
Okay.
With that, I would send and we do that with some of the simulcast events that we do, where we'll go at a high level one on one channel, and then we'll have a lower bit rate for people who have less internet.
Okay.
That's one thing. If you're doing if you're wanting to use it for a secondary campus, depends on, we just want to talk a little bit more about what you're trying to do. If that second campus is going to take the entire service, then it's one thing, you can just kind of stream it that way. Sometimes that secondary campus is going to have a separate worship team, and they just can stream in the teaching, and so you need some sort of solution to, you know, to handle the timing of it.
Okay.
You know, if they're ready at the right time, or do you need a DVR in there as well?
Excellent. I'll tell you what we're going to do, everyone, is we're getting close, or we're on our time here, but we're just going to take an extra minute or two, do just one or two more of these questions, and we've been recording these because they're such excellent questions, and then we're going to wrap from there. So if you want to hang in there, some of your questions might come up in the next 2 minutes. And then just to tell you again, over at worshiptraining.com, under the Media tab, the video and the PDF of these notes are going to be up there for you within 24 hours, so you can get those. And that is a great place. There's a ton of great chat coming in here. That would be a great place to put your comments underneath the video. We have comment feeds just recommending gear. Some of you are farther along in this process than others. Just no question is not a good question. You know, go for it. Get some information in there, and let's really help each other because these are confusing things. What I love is Kevin has streamlined a bunch of them for us. That little graphic at Worship Stream I think find really helpful just to break it down. But that's a good thing to do. So let's just hit another question or two here. Let's see. Here's a question from Roger. We have Macs and PCs. Are Macs better to handle this type of job?
You know, yeah.
Simple
you know,
question.
Yeah. I'll say there are a lot
this
of people.
This was not paid for by Steve Jobs or Bill Gates.
That's okay. Right. Yeah, no, there are a lot of people who have a whole lot of success with both platforms. So,
okay.
So that the only thing that I will kind of say on the PC side, and I've streamed with both, and they're great. The only issue I've come up against recently, and it's not across the board, but it's been more than a couple times that
yep.
should at least be of note, is people using the free Adobe encoder mm-hmm. with a PC sometimes will have issues getting their stream to play on iOS devices.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why that is exactly. The Wirecast one seems to work with iOS for either platform. And actually, the Adobe encoder seems to work fine with on a Mac.
Mm-hmm.
So if streaming for iOS is a big deal, that's the only thing I would kind of say to where, man, if you get a choose, I would lean Mac just for that reason.
Okay.
But
yep.
they're both great.
Okay, excellent. That's good to hear. We're getting some thoughts in there for PC use, at least a 17 processor. Again, some great input in here that's gonna really be helpful.
Yeah, the last thing I would say, even on that, whichever mm-hmm. computer you go with, again, to stream, it doesn't have to be a you know, brand-spanking new computer,
okay.
top line, everything. Again, it depends on what all you're going to ask of it.
Got
if you're
it.
Gonna have multiple computer or multiple cameras hooked up to it, you're wanting a lot of processing power.
Okay.
Or if you're gonna be sending out more than one stream, you want a lot of processing power.
Yep.
You can never have too much. And yep. the other thing is you want to protect your processing power just like you would your bandwidth. So
okay.
with your streaming computer, you want to make sure that whoever's doing it isn't surfing the internet, looking at other stuff
yep.
while you're
yep.
trying to stream.
Got it.
Especially if your processor is being pushed to the limit already, because that'll have an impact on the quality of your video.
Excellent. Last question here, and let's just take a moment on this. Do you feel the camera brands need to be standardized, or is it okay to mix and match? Looking into a three-camera capture, one man, one fixed mounted, one motion remote. Do they need to be standardized? Can you mix and match if they've got the feeds?
I think you can mix and match. It's mm-hmm. going to depend on how you're doing. If you're going to be if you're going to have those going through an outside video switcher that's just going to be coming into your computer, then as far as the streaming is concerned, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
You know, it's really going to be based on how those things, assuming that your video switcher can mix and match mm-hmm. and match cameras, then you're good to go.
Okay.
And I think that's probably true if you're taking a couple different cameras into your computer with a Wirecast solution, then I think you're still probably okay with that as well.
Excellent. Well, I'll tell you what, it has been great to have you with us today, Kevin. Our time is up, everybody. You're going to be able to catch this video at worshiptraining.com, and maybe you're watching this now, and you're actually watching the video. You weren't here for the live webinar. Any questions, you can email over to kevin@worshipstream.com. That's kevin@worshipstream.com. I'm sure some of you have already gotten a free account to get you into this world if you're not there already. And again, there are questions. He can answer questions, or at least give you to someone who can, just to nail the kinds of things that you need to get started in this world. Kevin, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you. Thanks to everybody. Appreciate your time, And yeah, let us know if there's any questions, anything we can do to help, we love it.
That's fantastic. Okay, so again, check in tomorrow for this video. You can review some things there and catch up on anything that you missed. And we'll look forward to catching you at the next worship training webinar. Again, have a great day. Bless you, and the Lord's grace be on you as you figure out the details of getting your worship services streamed online. Okay, bye now.